And I saw my dentist, too, another beauty. I said to him, Doc, look at my teeth. They're all getting yellow. He told me to wear a brown necktie.
To me, it's a little weird for a doctor to specialize in proctology, for that matter. I'm sure he has his reasons, but who makes that decision? Come out of medical school, here's the whole human body. Where do I want to hang? Okay, no, feet, nothing in the front. What do you got in the back? No, back of the head, no. Yeah. Now we're getting somewhere.
What's wrong with you?
It's either this show or indigestion. I hope it's indigestion.
Why?
It'll get better in a little while.
Now open your mouth and let's have a look at that brain.
We have an obesity epidemic in the USA. One out of every three Americans weighs as much as the other two, which to me...
What's up, Fletcher?
Your cholesterol!
I'm going to have to catch my breath here. That's hysterical. Is that the first time you've heard that as well?
No, it's always funny.
That is absolutely hysterical. Dr. Barry Dworkin in the Hal Anthony studio with us right now. It is Wednesday afternoon, house calls. Phone lines are open now, 521-8255, 521-TALK, star 580. The toll-free number, 1-800-580-CFRA, 580-2372. If you have a medical question for Dr. Dworkin, give us a shout. We'll get you on. Hey, I should tell you, I don't know if you heard, but during my show yesterday, I was actually at the food bank luncheon yesterday. It was tremendous honor to go down there and help them out with their annual luncheon. They give out awards for their sponsors and their volunteers. And I was talking about, very moved by some of the volunteers that received awards. Started talking about the show and I asked people, you know, give us a shout if there's somebody that you think does a lot for the community. Someone phoned and said, Dr. Barry Dworkin. There's a woman, your biggest fan. She's just good for her. You know, it wasn't out of place. She says she quite loves your show, values the medical advice that you give. And yeah, so
I appreciate that. That's very kind.
I have a question for you, just before I take a caller, because I've got to tell you something that's been, and you're the perfect person to ask. There is a campaign on right now, an online petition to try to make Putin. Have you heard about this?
No, I'm just waiting for the punchline.
Okay, well, so Putin is the punchline. To try to make Putin Canada's national dish. There's an online petition. You could go on and, you know, if they get 100,000 signatures, they're going to do something up in Parliament to make Putin Canada's national dish. Barry, how healthy is Putin?
Well, it satisfies every human need with regards to what your brain craves, right? Sugar, salt, and fat. So you're getting your starch from the potatoes, the salt on the French fries, and then the cheese and the fat from that, and then the gravy. So it's ideal from that standpoint, Ron. But in terms of a healthy food to have or to make the proud claim that it's your national food, well...
you're not going to be signing this petition, Dr. Dworkin.
I'm not going to be signing the petition.
You know, it's funny. You've told me, and you've told listeners to the show a few times, that eating color could be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you don't have to, it's not rocket science. You don't have to think through these things or get a diet book or what have you. Eat colorful meals, and you tend to be eating well. I've had another, you know, food culinary maxim that I followed for my whole life, and it deals with poutine. Never, ever eat anything that looks like it's already been through your stomach.
Yeah, that's right.
Could that not be a good rule to follow as well?
That is an excellent rule.
Never, ever eat anything that looks like you can find it in the men's bathroom after closing call.
Pre-digested. Yeah. So, well, it simply implies that you've got...
I hate poutine, by the way. Angry emails can start coming now. I absolutely despise poutine.
I do not consume that either. It's just not a food that has...
I hope that petition goes absolutely nowhere. Hey, let's go to the phone. Some people are waiting to talk to you already. Let's go to Rachel, phony from Ottawa. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hi.
Thanks
for taking my call. I actually just have a question because I've been experiencing a lot of joint pain recently in my knees and my hips.
Mm-hmm.
I've had bunions my whole life.
Yeah.
But this seems to be lately, it doesn't matter if I'm walking for 20 minutes, if I'm sitting, I stand up, I can barely walk. So I'm just wondering if this could be related to the bunions or is this possibly something else that's going on?
How old are you?
I'm coming up on the bend on 40, so not that old.
Physical activity, sports activities, anything that puts a lot of trauma or wear and tear on the joints?
Not at all. I just walk about half hour to an hour a day.
Okay. And the bunions, are they painful? Do they find that they are, that they...
They hadn't been up until recently, but now even with my sneakers, mm-hmm. I'm starting to feel pain around like the arch of my feet and within the toes.
Right.
So, of course, that could be related to that, but I'm just more concerned about the joint pain that I'm feeling in my knees and my hips.
Well, if it's happening on both sides, with the knees and hips at the same time, what tends to happen is everything goes from the bottom upwards. So in this, with regards to joint pain. So if you have bunions that are painful, despite your best efforts to walk and exercise or just stay mobile, when your feet hurt, you walk differently. Mm-hmm. Your feet will, and your body does this automatically. It's not a matter of consciously changing your gait or your stances. Your body tries to avoid pain. Mm-hmm. So as you walk, depending on the shoes that are worn as well, you will start to put stresses on your knees and hips in a way that they were never designed to deal with when there's pain in the feet. So before you start to investigate the knees and hips, at age 40, there might be a bit of osteoarthritis, but that's unlikely to be a significant contributing factor to the pain that you're experiencing, especially if it's been a relatively recent change.
Mm-hmm.
Ideally, if we know that you already have bunions that are causing you discomfort, that is what has to be addressed first.
Okay.
And by correcting the bunions, either through surgery or through orthotics or proper footwear, and footwear is extremely important, especially if the foot is already getting deformed from the bunions,
mm-hmm.
you need to have enough space in the shoe. You need to have proper support of the arch. You need to alleviate the pressures being put on the side of the foot that contribute to the bunion pain.
Okay.
And if that isn't being done, you are definitely going to experience pain in the knees and in the hips. Very similarly, for example, if someone has, just say, knee pain, and they start to walk differently, they get pain in the other knee or they get pain in the hip because their body is trying to adjust to accommodate for the pain in order to alleviate it. And so the whole gait, the whole way you walk changes. And it's not a huge change. You're not talking about where you can see it obviously that there's a difference in the way you walk. You're talking about millimeters of change in stresses on the joints, and they end up wearing down areas, causing pain in certain areas. The muscles start to strain. It really does progress upwards. And the longer it goes on, the more ensconced it gets. The more it becomes just a routine part of the way your body works, and it becomes chronic. So the idea, again, is to address those bunions, get them corrected, alleviate the pain in your feet, and then you'll likely see an alleviation of the pain in the knees and the hips as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I hope that helps, Rachel.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Let's go to John now. Good afternoon, John.
Yes, good afternoon. Dr. Dworkin, along with the heart medication I'm taking, the thing is that I had a skin virus on my leg, so the skin virus is practically all disappeared. But the thing is that I've been wearing these bandages, and the thing is that my skin has become red and raw, and it feels, and I can barely stand on my legs. To me, it feels as if somebody is putting a blowtorch underneath my legs and starting a fire and then ramming razor blades and knives inside my leg. This lasts for a good 20-some minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The pain is unbelievable. I've tried to put Noxzema. I've tried antibiotics, some spray over the counter.
Right.
I've tried everything, and there's nothing that can cure. Right now, I'm waiting for a message from my cardiologist, and I got to see him next week. And the thing is that I want to know, is there something on the market that I can apply to reduce this? Because I can barely walk. It's outrageous.
Well, ideally, what we would need to know first is exactly what that red, raw skin represents. If it is...
It's just dead skin. It's dead skin that's from the bacteria that I had on my legs.
But if it was... John, if it was dead skin, it wouldn't be red and raw.
No,
you'd have the covering on top could be old skin, but if it's red and raw underneath, that's something completely different. Because that's not dead skin if it's red.
Because right now I'm trying Advil, and they tell me not to try it. But I'm sort of stuck. It's this, or basically is this roll over and scream?
No, if it's painful to that degree and it's red, we still have to be concerned about secondary infections to the skin. That's one possibility. Is the leg itself, is it the calf, or is it the thigh?
It's from the ankle. I'd say about 2-3 inches from the ankle. And it's not very high. The inflammation, it's My right leg, it's okay. My left leg, it's okay. It went through the stage, and it's no problem. It wasn't as bad as the right.
Right. Well, again, something that's that painful and it's red, the concerns that we have for that kind of injury is either infection or very poor blood supply to the area where the skin is breaking down. You can have what we call arterial insufficiency. If there's a problem with circulation in your legs, you have less blood flow to the skin. The skin can get red and very painful. So that is also another factor where you end up with skin ulcers because the skin breaks down.
And it smells quite badly.
If there's an odor to it, then it's infected, or there's bacteria that's growing on it. And so something that's red and raw, you have to assume that there's an infectious cause, at least in terms of making a hierarchy or when you make your differential diagnosis of what sort of the worst things are and you try to eliminate if that's the possibility. If there's a bad odor from it, it means that there's bacteria that's growing on the wound. So that really needs to be looked at. You may need antibiotics to treat that. You may need some topical agents, silver bandages. There's a whole host of things that can be used to try to treat this. But ultimately, it needs to be looked at because a description of it, although helpful, is not as good as actually looking at the wound because there are a lot of clues around the wound that tell you exactly what this is. But to suffer like this with pain, especially with the medical conditions that you have, John, that you've told me about before,
yes.
I really think that this needs to be looked at, if not today, then as soon as possible, because if it is infected, the danger is that the infection will start to move up the leg, and that's not something I'd like to see happen to you.
I agree, and I'm gonna recall the nurse from my cardiologist and tell him that I fear that this might get worse.
He has to go in and see a doctor. His cardiologist aside, he should just go in and have a doctor have a look at his legs. Right?
Yes, and the other
cardiologist is steering him in the wrong direction here.
Well, this is a dermatologic condition. So if you have a family doctor, that would be helpful.
No, I don't.
Or even urgent care, one of the urgent care centers, just to have that looked at. Ideally, for skin problems, if this is something more than just a local infection, if it's, you know, possible breakdown of skin tissue, there is a referral that can be made to what we call the wound care nurses. And there's a group in Centerpoint that do an excellent job at treating wounds and healing them up.
But John should have somebody have a look at it the next day or so.
Before
the weekend.
If you're suffering like this, John, and it's that painful and there's an odor from it, it's not good just to sit there. The reason is that bacteria will grow and double every 20 minutes. That's the rate at which they reproduce. So waiting too long means it gets worse very quickly. Within 24 hours, you've got billions of more bacteria that are growing on there.
Well, tomorrow I'm going to go to a clinic and have it looked out.
Okay.
Looked out because I can't wait until next week.
You cannot wait because again, red and raw is on a leg, especially with the medical conditions you have. There's reduced blood flow to the area. There's a greater chance of infection, greater chance of tissue breakdown. So it does have to be looked at rather quickly.
There you go, John. So again, get yourself into the doctor. The cardiologist is a completely separate issue. He has to go in and have somebody have a look
really
at that leg right now.
Exactly.
So John, get that done before the weekend. We're going to take a quick break now, though. If you've been trying to get a line, 521-TALK, 521-8255, that'll get you in here if you have a question for Dr. Dworkin.
My doctor tried to scare me out of smoking. My doc, you know, showed me a picture, a smoker's lung. Oh, it was gross and disgusting. Then he showed me a picture, it was a healthy guy's lung. Oh, it was gross and disgusting. But I put them on the inside. You have to look at them all the time, you know? Man, I thought I'd be in better shape when I quit smoking, but nothing's really changed, you know? Except I can taste my food. That's one thing. All my food now has this incredible taste. Oh, man. Everything I eat, I go, hey, what kind of food is that you're giving me? Oh, there's a zingy, tangy food there, isn't it? What kind of a tangy, zingy kind of a... It's a boiled potato, huh? Remind me to get the recipe happy for that. I have to, a boiled potato, you say?
Chris does a great job of that, I must say. A boiled potato. Hey, we're going to go right to the phone. Some people have been waiting patiently to get on. If you have a quick question for Dr. Dworkin, 521-8255. *580 or the toll-free number 1-800-580-CFRA 580-2372. Let's go to Elizabeth, phoning us from Stittsville this afternoon. Good afternoon, Elizabeth.
Good afternoon, doctor.
Good afternoon.
I came down in September with granuloma annulare.
Mm-hmm.
It is not painful and it doesn't itch. It came on the back of my thighs in big, big spots like the size of your hand, mm-hmm. and purple. I have had like a cortisone cream for it, but I do break out another part of my body, not as bad in that purple, but spots, but mm-hmm. in the inside of my wrist, there is a spot and that's all purple. It doesn't seem to go away.
It's a type of thing that is more of a chronic condition. So you can control it a bit with some of the topical agents, but it is a very benign condition. It doesn't become anything else. Any other medical history, diabetes or anything like that?
No, and I'm healthy.
Mm-hmm.
What causes it?
Well, that's a good question. And in fact, this I have to look up for you, and I'll look it up right now. And it says the cause is unknown. They don't know. They think that it could be trauma, and I'm just reading directly from this. Trauma, insect bites, sun exposure, viral infections possibly, but no one is actually sure if it's, you know, if there's genetic susceptibility for it. But again, no specific reason given as to why this happens. And again, the only recommendations for it with regards to treatment are what you're actually doing for it now. There's really no great treatments. Topical steroids have a sort of a so-so recommendation.
Doesn't really help that much.
Other options are using liquid nitrogen to treat it, sort of to freeze the area to destroy it. That's another way to look at it. Sometimes they use ultraviolet light. Your dermatologist will use that. There's vitamin A derivatives. Vitamin A, same thing that you use to treat acne, can be used to treat it as well. So there are various ways to keep it at bay, or at least try to treat it a bit. The evidence for those treatments is not the greatest. But because the problem is that it is unknown what causes it, when you don't know the cause or the mechanism that actually leads to the condition, it becomes very difficult to know exactly what agent or therapy will interfere with that mechanism and reverse the process. Hence, all these different types of treatments that are tried, but no one individually works that well.
So is it something that I'm going to have my whole life?
I have a feeling it's something that you're going to be dealing with pretty much for your life, but it's not something that will cause any harm to you. It's not something that becomes worse or becomes a different disease.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it
benign.
It doesn't affect any of my organs.
It will not affect any of the organs. It is a surface skin disorder. It is not anything that affects the organs at all.
And I have never had anything like this.
It's unfortunately something that happens, but it's, again, at least it's not something that is going to affect you in a negative way with regards to lifespan or other problems. So,
and it is not contagious.
And it's not contagious.
No, that I'm happy about.
Elizabeth, I hope that helps.
Well, thank you very much,
You're very
doctor.
Welcome.
And thank you. Bye, Rob.
Okay, take care. Let's go to Roy phoning us from Smiths Falls this afternoon. Good afternoon, Roy.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Roy.
Dr. Dworkin.
Hi.
About every year or two, I get an attack of, what's that thing that goes down the back of your leg there? You know, it starts up at your pain.
Sciatica.
Sciatica, that's mm-hmm. the one. I've been taking, I had to go to the hospital a couple of years ago. It was so bad, and they gave me a shot of naproxen.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been taking, I have it right now. I've been taking massive doses of Aleve, which is naproxen.
Right.
My family doctor informs me I'm not to take naproxen because I have congestive
heart failure.
Where does that leave me? What do I do?
Well, now, when they diagnosed sciatica, were there imaging studies or x-rays or
no.
scans done?
No.
Okay, and it's only one side, one
yep.
leg?
Yes, sir.
And does it run down to the toes, a specific area of the foot that hurts you?
It has run. It usually, you know, it starts, I've had it start almost up at the waistline
mm-hmm.
and go all the way down to the leg. Right now it's just in my hip.
Okay, so
it's excruciating. Without the naproxen, it's excruciating. But I'm not supposed to take naproxen. So is there anything else that...
Yes, and when dealing with chronic pain syndromes or even acute pain, there are other means to control pain. And your doctor was correct, especially if you're taking large doses of naproxen, it can cause kidney problems and also make your congestive heart failure worse. There are different approaches for pain relief. So,
like I say, it only strikes once every one or two years, and then I don't feel anything.
Right. So if it's these short bouts of pain, they're usually what we use is a combination of things. So if you can't use anti-inflammatories, the combination of stuff that usually would be used is sometimes a mild narcotic medication. Sometimes use something called Tramacet, which is certainly doesn't have the same addictive potential as other narcotics. Combining that with Tylenol and also using either medications like Elavil or Gabapentin or Lyrica, each of those works on a different pain pathway to try to help alleviate your pain. So although you can't use an anti-inflammatory, there are at least three different classes of medications that can be used in combination to help provide you with some relief. And it tends to work relatively well. It's not perfect, but most people are happy when the pain level goes from 8 or 9 out of 10 down to 3 or 4 out of 10 because it becomes more manageable. And so that's what I would discuss with your physician, that because you can't take an anti-inflammatory and using those other medications are relatively safe to use when you have congestive heart failure, they won't affect heart function, you should be able to find the right dosing for each of those in order to be able to give you the pain relief.
We're going to try to get Allie on the show before we run out of time. So, okay. Roy, I hope that helps.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
So Roy does have options, and he should discuss it with his family doctor.
Absolutely.
Obviously, always discuss with your family doctor. And Allie, welcome to the show.
Good afternoon. Thanks for my call.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, I've for the last 2-3 weeks, I have a pain on my left thigh. It's the outer side, and it's sporadic. It's not constant. It's like... I just experience the pain. It's sharp, burning pain, and it goes away. Like if I change position after like 5-6 minutes.
Yeah, Allie, I'm sorry. I have to interrupt here. We're having difficulty understanding. We seem to have a bad connection here. You have a I don't know if we can do this. Actually, can you understand, Dr. Dworkin?
I couldn't get all the information. I didn't. I'm not even sure if it said left thigh or left eye.
Left thigh. Upper.
Thigh. Left thigh.
Thigh.
Okay, so it's the upper part of the left thigh, and is it sort of numb, and is it painful or is it numb?
It's painful, and it's like I experience that sharp burn.
Allie, I do apologize. Perhaps you can try next Wednesday, grab a landline, but I'm really hesitant, and Dr. Dworkin is more hesitant to try to give you any advice, not really understanding what you're saying, sir, so... please grab a better phone line, and of course you can try on Wednesday or on Sunday or on your show on Sunday. There you go. We don't have time left really to take another call, Barry. We're going to be right out of time. We are right out of time. There's some music starting. Listen, always great fun. Thanks
very
much.
Good to see you too.
Dr. Barry Dworkin, that was your Wednesday afternoon house calls. Dr. Dworkin will be back in on Sunday. So again, Allie, I suggest you grabbing a better phone or getting the heck rid of the one you got and trying again on Sunday.